Our next presenter is Bob Orban. Bob received his Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering degree with honors from Princeton University in 1967 and his Master's in Electrical Engineering from Stanford in 68. In 1970, he founded Orban Associates, originally a manufacturer of studio equipment. In 1975, Orban Associates introduced the original Optimod FM 8000, which was the first in a long line of broadcast audio processors for AM, FM, TV, and digital broadcasting from that company. Bob has been involved in professional recording for many years and has mixed several records released on Warner Brothers label as well as other small independent labels. As a composer, his music has been heard on classical radio stations in New York and San Francisco. He has designed studio reverberators, stereo synthesizers, compressors, parametric equalizers, enhancers, and de-essers under both the Orban and DBX brand names. I'm guessing there's probably no one in the room that doesn't recognize all of that already anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Bob Orban.
Thank you. Okay, so how do I run the PowerPoint here? I'm going to talk about a issue that is on a lot of people's minds still, given the looming deadline for compliance with the COM Act. And I'm going to try to move through the first part of this presentation fairly quickly, because I think most of you are familiar with the BS 1770 loudness standard at this point. You probably been exposed to it through seminars, technical meetings like this one. But let's go back and look at what we really want to achieve here. We want to make dialogue comfortably intelligible, and commercial should not be irritatingly loud. COM Act, we know that has to be complied with, and the FCC through Rule 11-182 implements it. It fortunately took feedback from the industry, so it incorporates the ATSC recommended practice A85 and any future upgrades thereto. So the concept of target loudness, to achieve consistent loudness from one source to the next and from one channel on your set-top box to the next, the integrated loudness of each program element has to be equal to a target loudness. And the home receiver, if it's using Dolby Digital, finds out about that target loudness through the dial norm metadata. Golden rule, very important. Dial norm value must correctly identify the loudness of the content it accompanies to prevent excessive loudness variation during content transitions on a channel. A85 incorporates ITUR BS1770, which defines a standardized loudness meter that permits the integrated loudness of a given program segment to be measured. The integrated loudness means that you actually integrate the total power in the sound over the entire integration period, whether it be for 3 seconds or 60 minutes. There are certain problems with integrating it over long times in that the ear does not really have a loudness memory that extends for 60 minutes. So you can have program material that has a very wide dynamic range where some of it is still disturbingly loud, yet the integrated loudness will comply with BS 1770. A little bit of nomenclature. In the US, we use LK as the unit of measure. The rest of the world seems to want to use LUFS. They're actually exactly the same. Two main approaches to complying. One is file-based static loudness adjustment, where the entire file's integrated loudness is measured, and You can do one of two things with it. You can either actually change the value of the digital data, or you can change the value of dial norm as long as you send that value of dial norm all the way to the consumer receivers. The other main approach is online real-time loudness control, like that used by processors that we've used for decades in analog television. I'm mostly going to be concentrating on online loudness control. It is implemented by hardware that's inserted between typically your master control output and the Dolby digital encoder. And it identifies and controls excessive loudness as it is received by the hardware. Advantages, it's a set it and forget it process. If you use it in its easiest manner, it can eliminate short-term loudness bursts that would otherwise annoy consumers. Examples being gunshots, screeching tires, explosions, you know, all the thing that would wake up granny, knock her off her rocker, even though the average power is still minus 24 LKFS. Downsides, well, it does reduce program dynamic range. It's a form of dynamic range compression. And for this reason, it ideally should be readily bypassable on air smoothly to accommodate upstream material like network feeds whose loudness is certified by the provider, and that's dealt with in FCC 1182 as to what that means. It's a so-called safe harbor provision. This refinement complicates master control operation because then you do have to bypass or put into operating mode your online audio processor, depending on what program material you have on the air. Long history of this stuff. Developed originally by CBS Laboratories in the mid-1960s in response to a FCC study regarding audience complaints about loud commercials. It was revisited again in 1981 by what was then no longer CBS Labs, it was now CBS Technology Center. Bronwyn Jones and the late Emil Torek improved the accuracy of the loudness meter. In 1983, FCC Office of Science and Technology tested the Jones and Torek loudness controller and concluded that it was likely to reduce complaints caused by loud commercials. Then in 2005, we, who have been a licensee of this technology ever since 1981, made a fair number of serious improvements to it, particularly regarding improving the smoothness and making the operation of the sidechain more subtle and achieving more consistent dialogue loudness, even when dialogue is mixed with music and effects. What do you need to do in a loudness meter? Okay, it needs to take into account frequency dependence. That is to say, we talk about the Fletcher-Munson curves, although those actually were done in the 1930s, and there are better measurements that have been done since then. ISO 226-2003 is the current international standard. What you can see is that the sensitivity of the ear peaks between 2 and 3 kilohertz, falls relatively gently to 10 kilohertz, you hit a shelf at about 1500, flattens out, and then slowly the ear starts to get less sensitive to sound pressure until by the time you're at 20 hertz, then you can really no longer perceive it as sound, but rather vibration. Interesting thing about these curves, if you look at the low side, the curves get bunched more closely together. That is to say, the threshold of hearing at 20 hertz is about 70 dB with reference to a 0 dB standard. And the bunching is such that the curves are only about 10 to 15 dB apart, whereas in the mid-range, they're more like 20 dB apart. So that creates a technical issue in that you really have to know at what average loudness level the consumer is going to listen to the broadcast to in order to come up with a good automatic loudness controller, because the loudness controller that works okay at say 75 dBA is going to work differently than one that works well at 65 dBA. Other psychoacoustic factors, in addition to frequency sensitivity, loudness meter should take into account loudness addition. And what that means is that if you hold the sound power constant, say you put a RMS meter at the output of a filter bank, and then you allow the input, which say is pink noise, to go into more and more filters and adjust the level so that the meter at the output of the filter bank stays constant in its reading. As you go into more filters, it's going to sound louder, even though the actual sound power remains the same. This is important. It's important because BS-1770 can't take this into account. Another one is loudness integration over time. For a given amount of acoustic power, sounds progressively louder until its duration exceeds about 200 milliseconds, at which point things plateau off. So, you know, if you start with a single cycle, you'll just hear as a click, the tone burst gets wider. Finally, when the tone burst gets to 200 milliseconds, it's as loud as it's going to get. BS-1770 takes only the frequency dependence into account. It's a wideband time-integrated power meter preceded by a frequency weighting filter. That's really all it is. For this reason, because it has a wideband power detector, it cannot model this loudness summation property. And because it has a slow integration time compared to 200 milliseconds, it also really does not model the short-term loudness integration time constants of human hearing. So let's look at the block diagram of 1770. The K filter, which I'll show you in just a second, is the frequency weighting filter that is somewhat the inverse of the equal loudness curves. It goes into power detectors, that's the mean square detectors. The power is summed, then they take 10 times the log 10 to convert that to what you would think would be dB, but in order to not confuse it with older units of measure, that's the LK or the LUFS. And then finally, the gate is something that was added in the dash 2 revision. And I don't remember if I have a slide, but I'll explain it if I don't. But anyway, let's look at the 1770 frequency weighting. It's in two stages. The first one is just a shelving filter. Basically starts a little bit below 1 kilohertz, shelves off by 5 kilohertz. It's a second order filter. So it models a little bit, you know, that part of the equal loudness curves that we saw earlier. Whoops, yes, it is touchy. Okay, so then the second stage in that filter is a high pass filter, and that models the ear's roll off. What it cannot model is the fact that the equal loudness curves are closer together at low frequencies than they are in the mid range. So there are three aspects to 1770. There is a momentary measurement designed for use in live programs, you know, about the same way you'd use a V-meter PPM. Integration time is 400 milliseconds. It's actually twice as long as the loudness integration time of human hearing. I'm not quite sure why they went as long, but that's what they ended up with. That's not gated. Then the so-called short term estimates the localized loudness in live programs. That has an integration time of 3 seconds, also not gated. And then the third one is integrated, and that's designed for the measurement of complete program segments. It might be a 10-second spot, it might be a 30-minute infomercial, could be anything in between. It's a user-definable integration time. The gate ignores program material that is more than 10 dB quieter than the loudness parts of the program as measured with the momentary integration time, where the measurements are overlapped by 75%. In other words, every 100 milliseconds, they start a new 400 millisecond measurement. They look to see how much energy is in it. If it's below minus 70 dB, they just throw it away entirely. Take the ones that are left, then throw away all the ones that are more than 10 dB below the integrated power of what's left. And the purpose of this is to emphasize the louder parts of the program, because that's the part of the program that's going to actually give you your loudness perception. It's a minimalist psychoacoustic model, and here's a graph from the BS-1770-2 standard. And let's see, is this the laser pointer? Okay, so you can see there's some outliers here. And these things are as large as 5 dB. What that means is that when they did the qualification tests for 1770, there was a disagreement between human listeners and the meter by as much as 5 dB, sometimes a little bit more for certain pieces of program material. So, not really terrific. And mechanically relying on the 1770 meter has caused complaints in the Hollywood production community. For example, a lot of text here, but it's interesting. One of the Hollywood production mixers said, when I said the VS-1770 lies, I mean what sounds equally loud to my ear may not be the same as the meter. Section of narration without music might measure something like minus 25 or minus 26 LKFS if there's lots of spaces. And then other denser material could easily read 22 or even higher for what sounds like the same volume to my ear. So in order to make the meter read evenly, I'm forced to mix badly and then be prepared to deal with the consequences later. So there has been frustration, and indeed a lot of Hollywood people are now mixing to the meter. They find that using the meter precludes them from using production techniques artistically that they otherwise would have wanted to use, particularly large amounts of dynamic compression, which after all is what makes rock and roll sound like rock and roll. But if you do that and run that into a 1770 meter and overreads it by 3 dB, which is quite common, then that piece of material is actually going to sound 3 dB too quiet on the air. Another mixer said did a minus 24 LKFS piece for Fox that was wall-to-wall singing and music for 2 minutes, probably, you know, idle, you can think you could dance one of those. Because the overall loudness and continued full audio signal, I had to bring it down. When it aired, it was 3 dB too quiet, even though it matched the magic LKFS number. I have no problem using these meters or meeting specs, but they're faulty. Well, what to do? Fortunately, ATSC has a prime directive, and that is, quote, because loudness is a subjective phenomenon, human hearing is the best judge of loudness. So relying on 1770 without listening is a recipe for substandard source-to-source consistency. Dense material will often be more than 3 LK quieter than unadorned dialogue, and dialogue levels will vary depending on the amount of underscoring or effects in the track. What happens is, when you bring up background music, if you bring up effects but leave dialogue levels the same, the meter will rise. And if you want to hold the anchor element constant, which is the A85 philosophy, then you really can't trust the 1770 meter to do it, because the meter is going to read higher if the anchor element has music or effects mixed behind it. So what did CBS do? They have a more complete acoustic model. They use 8 frequency bands. It's not a wideband power detector. They take into account frequency dependence, as does 1770. They use octave band noise, which is a compromise between using every psychoacoustic critical band, which is a third octave, and 1770, which is no filters at all. Loudness integration and time takes into account really 2 integration times in the ear, a so-called instantaneous one, which is sort of internal to the ear's mechanism, and then the 200 millisecond one that we discussed a little bit earlier. And that's the basic block diagram of the meter. It's the spectral division, that is to say the octave filter banks, linear rectification, loudness addition. That's where it allows the meter to take into account the loudness summation property. Then that's followed by the time constant, and in this case, they're showing an LED display for the meter. You can, of course, display it any way you want, and you can also use this as a reference for a loudness controller. Briefly, that's what the filter bank looks like. The details are not real important. Those are the frequency responses of the 8 filters in the filter bank and how they add up. And you can see that they look pretty much like the inverse of the equal loudness curves that we saw earlier. What it can't do is it can't deal with the fact that the very low frequency equal loudness curves are closer together than they are in the mid-range. So the Jones and Torek basically decided that the average level of TV, audio level during TV viewing was something in the order of 70 dBA, so that's where they oriented the filter banks to complement. To extend the meter to multi-channel audio, you apply each input to its own filter bank, and then we sum the output powers of corresponding filters in each audio channel before being applied to the rectification time constants. The ear tends to perceive the overall loudness in a sound field in a listening room by power summation. It's the same technique that was used to extend BS-1770, which was originally a mono meter to multi-channel audio. So I'm going to show some results here, and because the meter has a 200 millisecond time constant, we had to boil down the readings so that they were on the same time scale as the BS-1770 integration time. So did this in 2 ways. One, we just recorded the maximum swing of the meter during a 10-second time window, and the other was something that I came up with in 2008, which sounds an awful lot like the gating that was eventually adapted for 1770-2. All peak indications within the period are weighted equally, with 3 exceptions. If the highest peak in the window is more than 3 dB higher than the second highest peak, it's discarded. So if you have one isolated peak during that 10-second window, we don't let that dominate the reading. All peaks more than 6 dB below the maximum or second to maximum, if the maximum peak was discarded, are also discarded. And so that emphasizes the higher readings. in the meter. And I should mention also that because of that 3 dB discard, you sometimes see a 3 dB offset between the two measurement groups that we're going to give, one that just shows the maximum swing of the meter and the other that shows the integrated swing using this somewhat more complicated algorithm. So, loudness meter accuracy limitations. I've touched on some of this already. Not everybody perceives loudness the same way. Human listeners will agree by several dB when asked to match the loudness of test program to a reference tone or wideband noise. And as I said earlier, you can only calibrate for a fixed acoustic listening level. Other issues, the biggie, room acoustics and frequency response at the receiver are very unpredictable, particularly in the bass. Many receivers don't have significant bass response at all, and others are actually quite highly colored in the mid-range. So these issues mean that you can't get this to a tenth of a dB. Automatic loudness approximation and control for broadcast will always be approximate. But it's still important to minimize the average error by choosing a loudness meter that provides a good correlation to the average loudness as perceived by many listeners in aggregate. Automatic loudness control. You need an objective reference, so you can use a loudness meter. And we're going to use BS-1770 and the Jonas and Toric, both. The listeners being tested should match typical demographics of TV viewers by age and gender. And both 1770 and Jonas and Toric have been tested in this matter. As I said earlier, we saw more than 5 dB disagreement with the 1770. The worst case disagreement in the case of the Jonas and Toric was 3 dB. Although a smaller set of program items was tested. So make an automatic loudness controller by driving a gain control sidechain with it, much as we do with a conventional audio compressor. You can use feed-forward or feedback technology. Sidechain ballistics, like compressors and limiters, are critical. So you can't get smooth-sounding loudness control by using the same time constants as the loudness meter. And you can use wideband or multiband gain reduction as opposed to the psychoacoustic model I'm now talking about, whether you cause the in the case of our loudness controllers, we actually use two bands, and we have the loudness controller mainly act on material above 200 hertz, but we also have a window so that the 200 hertz material is limited to a preset offset, say 3 dB, so you can't build up bass by having too much gain reduction in the mid-range. There's a lot of industry experience with the Jonas and Toric loudness control. It's been on the air since 1965, really, 66, I believe, when CBS Laboratories sold the first automatic loudness controllers. Then in 1981, Orban and CRL both licensed the technology, and many thousands of those controllers were on the air in analog television. They tended to work pretty well in terms of reducing complaints caused by loud commercials. Context limitations, it can't really adapt to program context as well as a human mixer because you set an absolute subjective loudness threshold. So if the end of a program is very quiet and the commercial is compliant, the commercial will still seem loud compared to the program. In order to avoid this, typically mixers have developed the technique of using bumpers where they bring up effects or music at the end of a program segment to match it to the cluster that's about to happen. Automatic speech, non-speech discrimination can help a loudness controller understand context, but it can't deal with all situations where neither element is speech. So here are some measurements that we did. We used the free Orban loudness meter. This is available for download from the URL you see on the slide. This is orban.com/meter. And this has logging. It lets you look at the CBS, all three of the BS1772 readings, VU, PPM, and then we have a true peak or reconstructed peak or a 0 dB plus meter, depends on what you call it. This is actually mentioned in an appendix to BS1770. And what it does is it anticipates the output level of the digital to analog converter, because you can have situations where your digital samples are constrained to 0 dB FS, but if they are in a certain phase relationship compared to the original analog audio that was sampled, then at the output of the digital to analog converter after the reconstruction filter, the levels can pop up to more than 0 dB FS. And if you have stuff that's not designed to take care of this, as many of the Apple products are not, then you can get nasty clipping that you did not anticipate if you mastered through a converter that actually had enough headroom not to clip under the circumstance. Oops, that was two. Okay, so what did we do? We logged every 10 seconds. We used a 10-second observation window in the Jones and Torek meter. We used a 10-second integration time for the BS1770 meter. And I should emphasize that when we talk about integration time, it's not your usual exponential integration. The integration time means that all power within that interval is weighted equally, regardless of how old it was. So if you're monitoring in real time, stuff that happened 9 seconds ago is weighted just as heavily as stuff that's just going into the integrator. So we took the output of the meter and plotted it in two ways. There's a level versus time, and then there's a histogram. Let me just go back. The histogram approximates a probability density function and describes the relative likelihood for a given loudness to take on a given value. Material, 30-minute recording, and daytime drama, commercials, and some local news. The unprocessed feed had poor loudness consistency. If you look at the scale here, that's a 20 dB range on the y-axis, and you know, it's pretty much over the place. This is a particularly interesting little spike here, because this represents a network report that was highly processed, very mid-rangey. You notice the 1770 meter completely misses it. So this was a real fail for the 1770 meter in that context. And that's just another way of looking at it, comparing the two ways of looking at the CBS meter, the long-term and the maximum indication. Histograms, if the histogram is spread out along the x-axis, then it indicates that the loudness is inconsistent. the closer it's bunched up to one particular value, that the more consistent it is. And note that these are minus 10 to minus 30 dB or LKFS in the case of BS-1770. And then that's just the same thing with the Jones and Torque maximum. And same thing, Jones and Torque long-term versus maximum. Okay, we use this loudness controller for this presentation, the Orban 8685. Basically, I'm not going to go through it in any great detail, but the idea is that there's an AGC followed by a two-band or five-band compressor limiter, typically used in five-band mode quite lightly in television applications. Then the heart of it's the loudness controller, which is there. You see a bunch of potentiometers, and those are necessary. There's actually four gain control operations you have to do in order to calibrate this to a given target loudness. Don't have time to get into exactly how that works, but you know, trust me, they all have to be there. And the bottom line is, if the user says my target loudness is minus 24 LKFS, put it in the box. The box will take care of the rest of it automatically. Two-band compression really doesn't work well enough for the application. Two-band compression plus loudness control works fine. AGC plus five-band plus loudness control, you can take advantage of the multi-band to actually reduce spectral gain, intermodulation, pumping, etc. You can also allow it to DS. There's a number of pieces of program material floating out there that really do need DSing before they air. It can also re-equalize commercials that were really obnoxiously boosted in the mid-range. So we have a bunch of stuff here that I think I already mostly talked about. The loudness controller typically applies 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction to speech and may apply up to 12 dB of gain reduction to loudness commercials. Typically, we allow the slow AGC to do most of the work, and depending on the application, the ratio will be anywhere from 2 to 1 up to infinity to 1, and the gain reduction may be anywhere from 5 to 10 dB. Okay, so here's the same program material controlled with just the Jones and Torque loudness meter. Notice now the scale is 8 dB, it's not 20 dB. And we see the 3 dB offset caused by throwing away the 3 dB peak. Okay, so that's the maximum indication, and both of them are compared to the 1770 meter on the left. And that just shows you the two ways we integrated the Jones and Torque meter. The histogram, you can see that it's much more tightly bunched together, indicating better loudness control. 1770 has some tails in the low end, which are mainly caused by speech. Pretty much the same shape with the Jones and Torque maximum, and then again we compare the two. Okay, now you can, when you rely on the meter, because your organization says you must rely on the meter, you can cascade a 1770 safety limiter after the Jones and Torque loudness controller, and so the next measurements show the results of that. The safety limiter has a 10-second attack time to minimize loudness ducking on the low peak to RMS ratio material. And that's just what you get with 1770. We chose a 3-second release time so that the dialogue would come back quickly and not just sort of float up over 10 seconds. Asymmetrical attack and release can sometimes cause the 1770 meter to overshoot, but is perceptually better than matching the meter's time constants. Okay, so here's the VS1770 histogram with the limiter off and on. The right-hand side, you can see the meter on, and you can see there's much less stuff happening between minus 22 and minus 24 compared to when the meter is off. If you look at the Jones and Torek measurements, there's not much difference. And that's really indicates to me that the VS1770 has its own set of limitations. The Jones and Torek meter is disagreeing with it, so it doesn't much care what the VS1770 limiter has done, other than it has controlled the loudness within a very narrow and satisfactory window. Comfort range typically is plus 2 to minus 5 dB LKFS around the target. And whether you use the Jones and Torek or the 1770 or both together, you do achieve these goals. And this is a sort of hard to see, but it just gives you a general idea that the loudness is controlled well regardless of which meter you use, but the meters are not going to agree much on the details. So, recommendation, use the VS1770 safety limiter if controlling loudness is more important than achieving the best subjective source-to-source consistency of the anchor element, which is usually dialogue, because the Jones and Torek loudness controller tends to latch on to dialogue more effectively than 1770. Pitfalls you can run into with automatic loudness control: spitty dialogue, ambience pumping, stereo image shifts, slow pumping of loudness. None of these have to be there, although I have heard them on the air more than I would like to. It's unwise, if you're looking for the best possible production values, to mechanically rely on 1770 alone. When your ears agree with 1770, when your ears disagree with 1770, trust your ears, always. Okay, some program material is well mixed, doesn't need automatic loudness control. It can be bypassed for such material. Live news and sports, etc., needs it online. It's unlikely to ever be as good as a human mixer when the most aesthetically pleasing results are desired, because only humans can understand the subtleties of context. File-based loudness control is more likely than online loudness control to create loudness inconsistencies at the borders of two program elements. And I have 2 minutes to recap, so Jones and Torek loudness meter tends to lock onto dialogue. 1770 meter indicates approximate overall loudness, integrated loudness, all it tends to overread material with low peak to RMS ratio. You should never use a short-term measurement for a loudness controller, because that means it is going to duck down the dialogue level whenever you have music or effects under the dialogue. Cascading the Jones and Torek in 1770 is a good compromise if your organization requires mechanical compliance with the VS1770 meter, but you still want aesthetically pleasing results. And looks like I have 1 minute and 9 seconds for questions.
Is the weighting factors that they apply to this assuming an 85 dB listening environment, which people normally listen at a lower environment?
ATSC A85 has a graph in one of its appendices, I believe, that indicate that the 85 level is only for very large mixing theaters, and the normal listening level actually goes down depending on the volume of the listening room, and actually goes down to 76 dB for the smallest room, which I believe are like 1,500 cubic feet. So it really assumes that the mixing happened in roughly the same size room as the viewer is watching, or hopefully if the room was different, the mixer took into account that 9 dB of variation.
Mr. Orban, one point I'd like to emphasize in your recap. You say live TV is more difficult because there's no opportunity to clean it up in post. Might I augment that statement and agree with you, bearing in mind that in many TV stations such as mine, we do 5.5 hours of local news every day with no audio operator at a console. It's an automated production environment, and one of the positions that was eliminated by virtue of audio, or by virtue of the automation, was the audio operator. So that doesn't help the situation.
Yeah, we're finding that in many cases, people use a separate loudness controller dedicated to the newsroom. And in fact, the product that I showed earlier will do not only one surround program, but four stereo programs at the same time. So you could actually use one controller for the newsroom and then the main program feed would go through the surround controller.
I was curious, what's your favorite brand of headphones and model number?
I have become actually very fond of the Denon phones. It's a something or other 7000. It's a really, it's expensive, it's beautifully made, and it sounds wonderful. All right, well, it looks like I'm out of time and people are out of questions, so thanks for your attention.